if you know that you're not following through as much as you would like, give yourself what I call targets and bullseyes. So maybe your bullseye is to get everything done on your list that you wanted to do. That would be your bullseye, but maybe a target is just getting two or three things done on your list.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Decision-Making Drama with ADHD. And our incredible special guest is Siri Payne. She is not only a personal friend, but an incredible, incredible coach. You may have seen her out and about on many other podcasts because she is that well desired by so many other people. She's a certified life and executive coach. She really talks about scheduling, making sure that we're understanding that time can be on our side, especially those of us who are entrepreneurs and really busy mothers. So I'm so, so happy to welcome you, Siri, to this call and for you to give us all of your wisdom about that area and even more in particular about decision-making drama today. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Siri. I gave you a brief introduction, but how does ADHD fit into your life?
That's a great question. So I am a mom of two children with ADHD. I am married to a wonderful man with ADHD. And prior to becoming a coach, I was a special education teacher. And so the majority of my children that I taught had ADHD with maybe some other kind of comorbidity. But that's just, I love the brain. I think it's fascinating. I think they have so much to offer the world. And I just have a platform that I want to help them do that so that they don't feel like there's something wrong with them, but that they can recognize the beauty of their brain and that we can have what the world needs, what they have to offer. And so that's just kind of, I guess that's in a nutshell, that's what I'm here for, is to help them see that their brain has incredible value to offer the world.
Thank you. Yeah. It's kind of interesting because with your story of coaching, it's not like you set out to serve people with ADHD, but they kind of flocked to you. Is that right?
That is true. Yes, that is true. It was not my original intention.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because Siri and I worked together for a little bit and she just mentioned to me, she's like, all of a sudden I started to take a look at all of my clientele and I was like, they have ADHD, they have ADHD, they have ADHD. And I think with ADHD and with the troubles that happen in the frontal lobe of the brain, with executive function, with time management, et cetera, having a time and productivity coach is very useful and helpful to outsource that part of our brain, to talk it over with somebody that their strength is in that area. In addition to just, you are such a very, you get to the meat of the issue very quickly in your coaching and you kind of call crap on a lot of things kindly. You do it kindly, but you really, force us to look at our inner beliefs of ourselves and maybe what we've adopted from other people around us to help us progress and to grow. And I think it's one of your great strengths is to believe really highly in people with this neurodevelopmental disorder and for us to not settle, you know, because of what we have, but to find ways that we can work with our brain. You've done that for me at least. So it's good stuff. You're welcome. Well, let's hop into it. Let's go ahead and start on like this term of decision fatigue. I called it decision-making drama, but you know, we know decision, we know fatigue, but what is decision fatigue and why do we have it?
So decision fatigue basically is a concept that just, it can be very taxing and very like mentally daunting for those of us with ADHD. And it's referring to a deteriorating of decisions as the day goes by. So after long periods of time, as we're making decisions, then we're just going, our decisions will maybe be less and less positive or less and less helpful. And so the definition says long periods of time. And I just think that as humans, we're here on this earth, it feels like a long period of time. So even just waking up, that first decision can sometimes feel daunting, because we have created this environment here on earth where we are making decisions, not only about like, what are we going to currently do right this second, but about our future and about our future of our children's future. And so I think that we are experiencing decision fatigue just being here, if that makes sense. Mm. So it doesn't have to be this, I'm making a lot of decisions this particular day and I'm going to have fatigue. That is definitely what happens. But I want to give us a little bit of grace, knowing that just being human, we are making a lot of decisions.
Yeah. And I think that's, it's really good to understand through the context of ADHD, how many executive functions sometimes making a decision actually requires. We think, oh, it's just an easy decision. I remember having one of my clients and they said, oh, I need to find a new provider for, I can't remember what kind of doctor it was. And they kept saying, it's just easy. I just need to get it done. And then I sat there in front of her and I broke down the task as to how many things she actually had to do in order to find a new provider and finally schedule that initial appointment. And there was over 20 things in the list. And so when we think about these tasks in our brain that we so flippantly say, oh, well, that's easy. And then we actually break it down with this lens of how our brain doesn't work well, it makes it a lot more clear as to why we're getting tired. Like this idea of overtime, or what did you say? A long period of time making decisions. Well, sometimes it's like a short period of time, but our brain keeps like calling error halfway through. So yeah, I think that whether it's an extended period of time or whether it's just so many little choices all at once that are not very rewarding with dopamine and serotonin and the things that cause our brain to think more clearly, that it can really be difficult. So what type of things do you suggest we do then to help with decision fatigue?
So the first thing that I would suggest is really limiting the number of decisions that you have to make each day. And I think that if you're okay with it, I think we should talk about it. So through the ability to limit the decisions, it's through simple systems, automations, setting limits, creating routines, delegating, all of these things. So I think it might be nice if you're up for it. Yeah. Kind of talk about what that could look like in all of these areas.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So simplifying choices is something as simple as considering having the same breakfast or the same few items for breakfast and lunch. Most people do that anyways, but if we just realize like, hey, I'm going to have two or three different things and rotate them through, or you can assign them to certain days. It could be just Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you have eggs and toast. And Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you have cereal and fruits, right? It just allows you to pre-decide what you're going to have ahead of time. So when you wake up, the day is deciding what you're having, because it's Monday. Monday, I have, you know, toast and fruit or whatever it is. This also makes your grocery list simpler, because you just have exactly what you need to have on it for those things, for those two meals. It also allows you to save mental energy creating that grocery list. And that's another thing, is if you are creating a grocery list, I encourage you to save it. However that works for you, whether it's on your phone, whether it's on a card, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, just save it, because you don't have to save it, or then you don't have to spend energy trying to recreate it every month.
Thank you. That's such a very applicable way. I think one of the kickbacks I get is like, yeah, but I have kids that are picky. Do you have any insights about that and how we can pre-decide or not get decision fatigue? I'm not looking for like massive hacks, but maybe what would just pre-deciding look like for our kiddos, or how could we help our decision fatigue with that one?
Yeah, this is fun. I had a cute little five-year-old that had a hard time getting dressed in the morning because of the fabrics, right? The way things were touching, the way things were hurting, you know, that's very common to a lot of us, and some of us with ADHD as well. And so what we did on Sunday nights is what we called, her name is Cameron. We called them Cameron approved outfits. And so Sunday night, she picked out the outfits that she was going to wear for the week. And that way that they were approved, meaning that she knew the socks were going to be okay, or the shorts were going to
nice.
Fit nicely. And so, yes, we were making no decision, but it wasn't in, it's a lot of energy and a lot of, I'm trying to think of the right word, but if it's Monday morning, you're trying to decide, there's so many other things going on that you kind of have this heightened energy. But when on Sunday night, when it was just kind of like, okay, what do you want to do and where for this week? It was a little bit less energy. It wasn't like, hurry up, we got to get ready. We have to make a decision. You have to be right. Yeah. Right? And so that could be something, or, you know, you can ask them about what kind of things would you like to eat this week for lunch or for breakfast or whatever it is, and let them kind of tell you, like, I like waffles or cereal or whatever it is. And then maybe limiting their decision. So if they're not willing to follow a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday type of schedule, you can just say, we have waffles or cereal this week. Which one would you choose? And then give them
that. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Limiting the decisions for them who experience decision fatigue as well. that's genius. Yeah. I think with like our, you know, whenever we feel too much urgency or we feel like things are too much in a rush, then all of a sudden all the good juices that help us make choices are pretty much inaccessible. So I love like making those choices ahead of time at a really calm time of day. All right. What else is next on our list?
I think a great one is automation. So this could look as simple as, instead of trying to remember the house chores that you need to do each week, write them down where you can see them. And I think that visibility is the cue. So same thing with your grocery list. If you've written it down before, if you've written down your house chore list, then save it, make it visible so that each week you know exactly what you can do and you don't have to come up with your house cleaning list each week. So if you have chores that need to do that you need to do monthly or quarterly, I suggest you do the same thing as well. And if you're creating a list for anything, I suggest, and you're gonna know you're gonna create it again, I suggest you write it down, save it somewhere so that you don't have to keep recreating these lists. And one thing I really want to suggest is that don't write down the chores that you don't care about, right? Like if you don't really care if your house gets dusted, don't write it down, because then you will maybe not do it and then you'll beat yourself up for not doing it. So really write down what you and what you want, what you find valuable, what you find important. And another thing for chores is you can, as you write them down, it can look as simple as like, I call it a sliding chore chart. I know you do something very similar, but one side is like all the chores you could do, and maybe you put them on some kind of magnet. And then when you've done it, you just move it over to the other side, right? Another thing that I have helped people do is create chores in a popsicle stick method. So they write down all the chores that they want to possibly get done in a week. They put it in their they write it on a popsicle stick, put it in a jar, and then they pick a popsicle stick. So the popsicle stick is deciding what chore you're doing. And then when you're done, you put it in another jar.
Cool.
Another way is just a sheet protector. It can be very simple. Put it down on a piece of paper, put the paper in a sheet protector. Then when you're done doing a chore, you just cross it off with a wet erase marker. But the process of this being visual also allows you to have help, and you don't have to decide how those people can help you, right? Like if someone's like, how can I help you? You can just say, go take a popsicle stick or go look at a chore. And that also will reduce your decision fatigue.
Yeah. We outsource to the system.
Yes.
The system is always there for us once we've created it. Love that so much. I've also seen like those, like spirally bouncy, like I don't know what they are, bracelets that people put on their arms. They'll just use a couple in the day and they won't take it off the wrist. It would drive me crazy, but they don't take it off their wrist until they've done that chore. So yeah, such great ideas. Okay. So once we've chose some automation, then what?
Then we can maybe go to establishing some routines. So this may sound like on Mondays, I always clean toilets. Right. Mm-hmm. Or on Tuesday, I always pick two chores for my popsicle stick jar. Right. Or another one that I like is when the laundry basket is full, I start a load of laundry. So when you make these decisions ahead of time, you know, it's called pre-deciding with a routine, then you're limiting your decisions. But as I mentioned before, then the day, the time, or a full laundry basket is making the decision for you. So once you create that system, then you don't have to remind yourself. You're just like, Mondays, this is what I do. Tuesdays, this is what I do. So the day makes the decision. And it just really gives a lot of that decision-making power. You already pre-decided. So it gives it, you get the power, but then everything outside of you kind of helps you make that decision.
Okay. So what happens when we don't follow through?
So when we don't follow through, we beat ourselves up. No, I'm just kidding.
We do.
I know. I'm not kidding. We do. And so what we can do is just decide, like, of course, be gentle, right? If you know that you're not following through as much as you would like, then maybe set up systems where you can choose, right? Like give yourself what I call targets and like targets and bullseyes. So maybe your bullseye is to get everything done on your list that you wanted to do, that would be your bullseye. But maybe a target is just getting two or three things done on your list. And yeah. So when you give yourself that grace of like, okay, I do have a bullseye, like I would like to get all of these chores done this week, but a target is maybe two or three. If you get that done, celebrate that, right? Be grateful for that. But then don't beat yourself up, give yourself the grace. But then what I like to say is just kind of like medicine, you can't really double dose and be effective. So possibly you just say, hey, I didn't do that thing today. And if it doesn't really need to happen, if it's not that important, I mean, it's always feels important, but it's like, can the bathrooms go another week? If they can, right? And it's not that big a deal. Then you just set it aside. Let that be Wednesday. You know, you didn't do it. And you just start Thursday and you pick back up with whatever your routine is for Thursday.
Hey, busy brains. Are you seeking more mindfulness and focus in your life? Introducing Mindful, my exclusive group coaching program designed just for you. Whether you're struggling with ADHD or you simply want to cultivate a calmer mind, Mindful is here to support you. You can join a community of like-minded individuals from all around the globe, and together we'll embark on a transformative journey. Come, gain a deeper understanding of yourself, find more inner peace, and tap into boundless possibilities within you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful to learn more and join our waitlist today. I cannot wait to start coaching you right around the corner. See you then. Now back to the show.
There's a couple of things that came up when you were talking. Number one is like this validation that this does happen a lot severely with ADHDers, because many of us grew up not being consistent, and maybe we had neurotypical parents or even just like very, very strict parents. And so we got these negative messages and somehow have tied the fact that we didn't follow through with our self-worth. And so, you know, overcoming some of those old narratives of we didn't let ourselves down, we're just human and we have ADHD brain. And this makes sense that, you know, this didn't get done today. And also we're the boss. And so like, I love how you said compassion and grace, and also this understanding that it makes sense that we feel bad because that's how we've kind of been conditioned over time. A lot of the time, also, I really liked that you said, you know, sometimes the bathrooms can wait, especially because I know a story about you, Siri. Will you tell us about what your mom made you do every day before you went to school?
Yeah, well, so I grew up in a household that we cleaned our house from top to bottom every single day. So, I mean, we're talking the baseboards, sweeping, mopping, the bathrooms. And so one thing I probably had shared with Camden is I was on a little bit of a road of motherhood of like letting some of those ideas go. Like, I just thought you had to clean your bathrooms every day. I didn't know other people didn't. I didn't know that wasn't a thing. And so yeah. When you realize like, wait, they don't have to be cleaned every day or every week or every month or whatever it is, well, then you get to be the boss and you get to realize what really works for me. So my journey was just as, I don't want to say just as difficult because I don't want to compare, but like I came
from. It was all so intense.
Yes. To realize like what really is important to me? What is valuable? What do I really want done? And I think that that's why maybe it works so well with that ADHD, a person with ADHD, because they have the same maybe ideas, but then they're not doing it. And it's not because they're not important, just like how mine was. It's just they're not important to us in that way. And so the scheduling that I help people figure out and the timing and, you know, all of the plans that we create for our day is what really works for us, not what we think is going that everyone thinks we should do, but what really is important and what do we really value? And that's what we're going to get more done of.
It gives us such permission to allow people to live their lives as well. I feel like when we give ourselves that permission, like this is what works in my home. So then when we enter someone else's home, I'm like, oh, cool. This is different than what I did, but this is what works in their home. And it's really allowed me to extend that flexibility, that permission, that grace, that curiosity to other people and see society, see life in, you know, a variety of different ways, you know, qualify successful, quote unquote, in so many different ways and put the trust into other people's hands that they know what's best for them. It's a little bit interesting when other people judge us for what we've done, but I think in a similar note, when we're really intentional and when we're really thoughtful about these decisions, it makes it a little bit easier to not feel as offended because they can think what they want, you know?
Yeah. And, so. And you have ownership of that when you've decided, right. Like, my bathrooms are whatever your criteria is, if you want to keep them healthy, if you want to keep them germ-free, if you want to keep them clutter-free, and, you know, like whatever it is, if you know that that happens in one time a week or eight times a week or one time a month, then you've given yourself permission. Like the bathroom level of cleanliness I can usually do in 1 month, then you just, it's what's important to you and you own it. And I think when you own your decisions, it's a little bit easier for people to have their own decision about it. And maybe you feel judged, but you're like, yep, that's you. But do you know how much more I get done in these areas because I clean my bathroom once a month or whatever it sounds like for you?
Yeah. Or how much happy of a person I am, or how much less stressed I am. And I can show up for my spouse and my kids and, you know, my responsibilities at church or the community, because I'm not stressed about the bathroom as much.
And which is the great point that you brought up, is I was a stressed out mom when I had my little kids, because I thought you had to do that every day. I just didn't know you didn't, right? And it wasn't until I started working part-time when my kids were little that I realized, like, I didn't have time to do it all. So then you have to kind of decide, okay, what isn't as necessary as I thought it was? And that's when I kind of went on this exploration of like, wait, I don't need to clean my bathrooms every day. Like, I don't need to keep them off after dinner every night. And it just allowed me to, again, own my own decisions. So even if my mom came over to my house and maybe it was less clean than I had maybe had it before, it was just like, yeah, this is what it looks like to be a mom that is serving in a state calling and working part-time. This is what her bathrooms look like, and it's okay.
Right. Yes. There was one other little element when you were going through those establishing routines, just like the fluctuation of our energy level. A lot of the time with ADHD really changes based upon what our body is producing and in life. And it can be kind of unpredictable. So you said kind of like that sliding chore chart. For me, I give myself like the 5 days to do the 4 chores, you know? And so if I'm not feeling motivated to do, or if I don't have energy to get on my knees and clean the toilet, for example, but I do have the energy to vacuum and listen to something in my ears, you know, then I will choose that one. And so not assigning it a day gives me a little bit more flexibility to follow my energy level. So that one just kind of came up as a addition to your sliding chore chart idea. It's been really helpful for me. So
Also, you can apply that to meals, you know, like people meal plan. And there's lots of ways to meal plan, and there's lots of, I won't get into it. There's lots of reasons why you would plan certain things on certain days, depending on where you're at and what you're doing. It can be complicated, but to make it very simple, I remember when I was pregnant, I just planned out, like, I had 10 meals like in my home. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and then I would just decide, what do I feel like eating today?
Because
I would plan something on that Monday and I just didn't feel like eating it, but there was something that I did feel like eating. So, you know, knowing what meals you have can be as simple as just writing down everything that you, all the food you have in the house that can make the meals, right? And do it once, and then just kind of keep those lists handy so you can keep making that food in your home, but then just decide, what do I feel like making? What do I feel like eating? Right. You know, like last night we were supposed to have chicken Alfredo. It's really not one of my favorites, and it kind of is time intensive. I didn't feel super great. So guess what? We did not have chicken Alfredo last night because I didn't want to spend the time, and it wasn't something I really was interested in eating. So give yourself grace and be like, that's okay. Guess what? We're going to have it tonight. And it actually works out better because I have some kids coming over that are married and they're going to be really excited for a fun dinner.
Perfect. I'm thinking about like our audience who also has a business and maybe where they experience decision fatigue as entrepreneurs or in their business. And maybe some routines that you've seen have been successful to help combat decision fatigue in business.
Yeah. So I think some big ones in business are maybe like setting deadlines. So all the things we talked about, right, you can implement them to your business and to your home, right? Because when you have less decisions in your home, right, it can filter over to your business. But one thing I noticed a lot with entrepreneurs is the deadlines are all quote unquote like fake, right? Like there's no one looking over our shoulder to make things happen. So I would really encourage them to set deadlines for when you have to tell someone that you're going to do something. So lots of times my clients will, if you do one post a week, or if you're doing 100, that doesn't matter. But like, how many are you going to do by what date? right? And then I'm the person that helps them know that that's when it has to do. So if when you tell someone, it prevents you from wasting time, from overthinking.
Accountability.
Right? Yeah, that accountability. And it's very huge for some people. Some people don't like it, but if you are an accountability person that really thrives on that, but it really helps you stick to that decision. And so that's the one thing I would is create some kind of accountability or, you know, setting deadlines for yourself in your business, because they're all kind of fake when you're an entrepreneur. There's not a whole, I mean, yes, we had to show up at the right time for this to happen, but most of the time our things aren't face to face. And those, I mean, we show up for the face to face meetings quite easily, right? Where we know someone's counting on us. So you have to kind of build in a way to have someone count on you. And it can be you, right? Like, I don't necessarily have an accountability partner. I can count on me, but you have to figure out what is that thing. Is it internal or external that you can count on?
Yeah. And what kind of things require what kind of intensity of accountability, I think, is another thing. Yeah. It's so interesting because a lot of my personal clients with ADHD, some of them are like very date and time oriented. Like, they're very highly motivated, and others are not. And I'm raising my hand. I am not date and time oriented. However, with flexibility, like, I want to get something done within this time frame. That's very helpful for me.
Oh, and can I share? Go ahead. And then I have two.
Yeah.
Finish your thoughts. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I think it's just, honestly, it has a lot to do with the stage of life that I'm in, with my kids. I took my daughter to go get her haircut, 2 days ago, and she ended up vomiting on the sidewalk outside of the hair salon. And so it's just like things like that, that I know I can count on, to disrupt my business, disrupt, maybe my natural flow. And so having this flexible buffer of a deadline, as you're saying, makes complete sense for me. And it allows me to be present with her instead of saying, we got to get back on schedule when she's feeling so sick. And old Camden would have done that. Old Camden would have been annoyed and felt very inconvenienced, et cetera, because I was trying to do things in a very formulaic way. And so I think that both are really helpful. It comes down to tailoring it for what are your needs and what's realistic sometimes too.
Yes. And I love that. And that's basically what I teach, right? And as you know, flexible scheduling, plan A, plan B's, kind of things like that. So it's almost like you can take your schedule, have it be on post-it notes, and just move the things around as it works for you, as kids need you. And that's the, so that's what I rudely interrupted you. I was getting so excited because that reminded me of something that's probably the most important. You asked about business, people in business, and whether you have a business or not, you have a goal, you have an interest, you have a something. So fill in the blank for what that is for you. But here's the advice that I would want to share is you have to make it important, meaning it's important to you, and that you're not going to let everybody else's, you know, needs get in the way of your goals, your dreams, your business, whatever that is. And with flexibility, I get that, right? Like, obviously, I would want to take care of a child that is sick or throwing up over, you know, something in my business. But what happens is the little things, like I wanted to do a little post on social media, but then my kid was over here doing, and it's just like, we can understand that, okay, the kid needed me, so we let the post go. But what I see a lot is we let task after task after task go. And so then we think, I'm not good enough. I can't create a business. I'm not cut out for this. But really, we haven't made that decision that this goal is just as important, right?
Yeah.
So not more important than, but just as important. So allowing us to then honor our work schedules, whether it's very flexible, whether it's a couple hours a day, whether it's a certain amount, like 4 to 6 every day, but just honoring those and creating them important. And then another thing is just, as you mentioned, you block your time. I'm a huge fan of results-based planning, meaning in that block of time, write down the results you plan to get. I realize we're moms and kids come in and we maybe, like, you know, you wrote down, get her a haircut. It didn't really happen. So sometimes the result doesn't happen. But if you write down the result you want to have in that time, rather
than I know how to reschedule it.
Yes. Then, you know, like, oh, we still have to get this haircut. So if you write down, if you know you have a block of time to work, really write down what you hope to get done, right? Whether it's finishing a podcast or writing two social media posts or a newsletter, whatever it is, write down what you hope to get done during that time. That really does keep us focused. And it also helps our brain, you know, how when we finish a task, then we have that, you know, task switching. But if you mm-hmm. know exactly what you're hoping to get done and you have three or four things, it actually diminishes that task switching, because then what normally we'll go and, oh, I need to take a break. I need to get a drink. I need to check Instagram. But if you know the next task, sometimes your brain can just get really on it quicker rather than trying, because if we have to decide what the next task is, then of course we need to get on Instagram or we need to get a drink.
A buffer.
Yeah. And so a lot.
Well, and also helps with the satisfying, like when you have the results-based planning, then the satisfying feeling comes up more often, because you can actually see what you've done. And one of the big problems with ADHD is that we are not present. So this is kind of two things. We always talk about now and not now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the reflective part that our brain should do for us a lot, that takes what we learned from a certain event and stores it into long-term and short-term memory for us. That doesn't always happen very well. And so I love this results-based planning task list, number one, because as we're talking about decision-making, it helps us cut out all of the, what should I do? Should I get on Instagram? Should I get on a podcast? No, it's right there in front of me. This is how I'm making the decision. I decided ahead of time. But then it also allows us to feel like, wow, that's very satisfying feeling. And then to store that in our brain as a success, which is really difficult for us to come up with, are these successes that we see in our life. And so long-term with ADHD, that's also really cool for us to be able to bring out of our short-term memory to use for future decision-making processes. So bravo for that one.
Plus, when you go to bed at night, you know what you did, right? Because I'm sure as moms and we're busy or whatever, we're like, what did I do all day? I worked so hard, but what did I get done? When you planning, you know what you got done. And so when somebody tries to feed you, what did I get done all day? You're like, well, I fed the kids. I took care of a kid that's throwing up. I did X, Y, and Z. And you can actually answer that question of what did you do all day?
Cool. Love it. So any last things that you want to bring up that you haven't been able to share? This has been awesome.
I don't know. There's so much I could talk about it. I really love it. Let me share one more thing, because we are talking about just making decisions. Again, I just really want to reiterate, and something that I teach all of my clients, I think will be super helpful, is that no matter what you're doing, we want you to know that you are valuing it, right? We want you to, whatever you're writing down on these lists, we want you to know that it is complementing the decisions, the tasks, the priorities, the schedules, whatever it is, that it's complementing your ideas, your values, not all the shoulds. And so lots of times when we feel overwhelmed, we have too many decisions to make, or we have too many things, too much on our schedule, we're not getting it all done. I really want to encourage you to maybe put your task, your idea, your whatever you wrote down on that paper through what I call a soft filter. So I really teach powerful, true priorities, and then I teach soft priorities. And most of us have what I call soft priorities just because we're not aware of them. And soft is an acronym, and it stands for shoulds. So like, are you putting down that you should clean your bathroom every week, even though you know you're not going to because you don't really care, right? That's a should, right? Like, you're putting down that you're going to have broccoli for dinner because you should have it. But if you know you're not really going to do it, just notice, like, what is it a should? It may be that you have another priority to eat healthier. And so then we can, you know, dive into that a little bit more, but I just want to notice how many shoulds are on your schedule, right? Yeah. The other is others. So the O for soft is others. We try to control how others feel about us, right? So we want to do it so they, you know, others don't think poorly of us, or so they think differently of us. So we say yes to things we don't really want to do because we don't want to let others down. The other one is fears. Kind of goes hand in hand with all of those, is like, I fear that if I don't do this, this will happen, right? That might be a lot of busy brain saints, right? They do a lot of things out of fear, rather than thinking like, what do I really want? What's the result I want to have from doing this task, rather than I'm going to do So I fear that this won't happen. And then the last one for the T is about them or they, meaning like, I want them to appreciate me, or I don't want them to be mad at me, or I don't want them to judge me. So if you have something on your schedule, on your to-do list, on your task, even in your decisions, right? Even on the list you're making for bathroom cleaning or what you should have for dinner, if there's shoulds on there, then that is creating what I call like, it's a waste of time, honestly, because you're doing things that aren't empowering you. And so even if you do all those things, that's when you do go to bed at night going, what did I get done? Because you didn't do anything that really like spoke to your soul, right? It wasn't anything that was really matching your values and your priorities. It was about everybody else.
Yeah. So good. Thank you for sharing the acronym with us. Got to go write it down now. Yeah. Think about it that way. Well, this has been so helpful. If you have ADHD and you're experiencing decision-making drama, decision fatigue, know that you're not alone. This is very, very common, especially if you are busy. Haha, who's not busy? You know, and know, like Siri said, that this can apply to a variety of different places in your life. This applies to home, work, relationships, you know, if you're on the PTA, if you have a job or a calling in your church, if you, you know, help out with the book fair, you know, whatever it might be, that there's a number of these things that can pop their ugly head over and over and over again. And what I have found to drive home Siri's points is that if I can focus on one, just one thing, whether that's doing the dishes, whether that's responding to emails, if I can just focus on one thing and really constrain to that and apply these principles to that one thing, I will learn how good that feels in my body. I will count that as a success. And then I will be much more likely to then go and apply it to a second thing. And I just want to give you all who are listening the permission to not have to go do your, you know, your laundry and your bathrooms and your food and all your other responsibilities all at once, that it's totally okay to just choose one. And to drive this home one more time, a little further, I was just talking with my therapist and he sent me a habit tracker over and he said, so how's that habit tracker working out? I said, I've decided to not use it for the next 2 weeks because what I need to do is just take my supplements. I'm going through a detox right now. I need to take my supplements and that's enough decision for me right now. I don't have capacity to also write down how I'm feeling with each one of these. I don't have that capacity right now. I probably will in 2 weeks when this feels more muscle memory. And at first he challenged me on it. And then he's like, I can see that you've really thought this through. I'm like, that's what I do. So, you know, holding those boundaries and understanding. And honestly, I think Siri is one of the very first people that gave me that permission. And it's come a very, very, very long way. So Siri, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you and what can they expect to do if they'd like to work with you?
Well, I'm going to tell you that, but before I do, I want to just tell you that I love how you stood up for yourself, even against what we would call quote unquote, the expert, right? I think that's what a lot of us, right? This isn't just ADHD. When I say, I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm trying to say this is normal, but also with ADHD, we feel like they know how to do it. So I should follow it exactly how they say I should. And that's what I'm totally, I guess, against, right? I like want you to create the schedule and you to create what and you to create the meal plan or whatever it is you want to, that empowers you, that gets you excited. And if you know you can't do it, stand up and say you can't, even if it's against, you know, the expert. And so I just really love that you have learned that and that you really know yourself enough. And so if that's the bit, that's anything we can share most is just getting to know you, whatever you are enough so that when someone says like my mom, you should clean your bathrooms every day. It's like, I totally could, but I'm okay not doing it because, right? And when you have that vernacular and you have that decision, you get to be as powerful as you were with the therapist and say, you know what? I know it works for some people, but it's not going to work for me.
Not now, buddy.
Right? So not everything works. And so when you are following a guru or following a time management program or whatever it may be that you're trying to do, and it's not working, it's not the program, right? Mm-hmm. It's not you, it's that the program doesn't match the way that you want to do things, right? Like I don't work on Trello a lot, which is a big, a lot of people in business love Trello. And I finally just said, it doesn't think like me. And
that was the first time
I realized a lot of these time management programs are not going to think like us. We think differently. And so I'll tell you where to find me, but I just wanted to give.
Thank you. No, that's so good.
Because you have learned that skill and that is so valuable. That's the most important thing I think we can do is know what works for us and then really own decisions.
Yeah. It becomes a non-negotiable once you realize, you know, how you feel when you start to be your own expert and, you know, you're still teachable and coachable, but you kind of know your non-negotiables of how things are going to look. So thank you for that encouragement. That's awesome. Okay. Back to you.
Yeah. So my name's Ceri Payne Coaching, C-E-R-I, and you can find me on, I'm over on Instagram most often. My website's the same. Facebook's the same. So wherever you like to digest your social media or your learning, come find me, Ceri Payne Coaching.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Ceri. You're amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at The Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.